what's going on, guys? It's me, your host, George E., fucking King of the Castle. And I am once again here with my lovely co-host.
I'm Leslie E., and I'm the mama bear, just the mama.
There she is. Now, if you guys are noticing something different, it might be my voice. I'm getting over being sick. I had a pretty terrible cold this week. It kind of fucking sucked.
The man cold.
The man cold. Yeah, so I was being a huge baby about that. And today is our third episode of Two Sushi Rolls Podcast. And today we are joined by my little brother, Mario.
Yo, yo, yo.
All right, guys. Well, today's episode is going to be filled with a whole bunch of stuff. But first, we would like to say that today's episode is sponsored by Basic Roofing. If you guys need a roof done and you guys are in the Texas area, make sure you guys call Basic Roofing. You can find them on Facebook. You can also find them at basicroofing.com, right?
Basicroofingtx.com.
Nice. So make sure you guys give them a visit. Even if you guys don't want to pay out of pocket, you guys could actually go through their insurance, through your insurance, actually. You go through your insurance provider, and they'll actually do a claim on it, and you may just have to pay for your deductible, which is nothing in comparison to a roof that could cost you thousands of dollars. So make sure you check them out. That is basicroofingtx.com. All right, guys. Well, today's episode is actually going to be a little bit on the different side. We're trying to play with our format a little bit. And we'd also like to take a quick moment to thank all the people who are actually out there listening to our podcast. We are doing really great with our numbers. We could totally tell which one of you guys are out there actually being faithful listeners. We really do appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for sticking around, for liking the show. And like we've mentioned in the weeks in the past, we're actually going to be doing a giveaway to random people who are actually listening to our show and actually like us and follow us. We're going to be selecting a few of you guys to send you guys a Amazon gift card as well as a Two Sushi Rolls Podcast shirt. Really great quality shirts.
Yeah, we see you guys. We really appreciate it. We really do. We know.
Yeah, we know which one of you guys out there is listening to us, and we're getting a lot of listens, so that's really great. When you could actually now listen to us on Spotify, so hopefully some of you guys will actually, some of you guys will probably be listening to us on Spotify. Some of us will be listening on iTunes if you guys are on iOS, and some people will be listening on their Androids through Stitcher or Google Play. One of the issues, just in case you guys have been having it with actually listening to us through Alexa, you actually have to say, Alexa, open
any pod. And once she gives you that prompt, once she greets you, then you say, after you open any pod, then you say, play Two Sushi Rolls Podcast. Because that's like the thing that they play podcasts on, which is any pod.
Yeah. So thank you guys out there who are listening once again, and we'll be choosing you guys in the next few weeks. We also got a lot of great guests lined up for you guys. We're in talks with a lot of great guests, a lot of different people from a lot of backgrounds, careers. So please stay tuned, find out more about that stuff.
Let's bring Mario in.
Yeah, let's bring Mario in. What's going on, man? How's Texas been, man? You've been out there for how long?
About a year now.
About a year.
Yeah. Pretty far.
And how's that treating you in comparison to living, you know, in Bolingbrook, you know, starting a business in Bolingbrook, Illinois, taking it to Minnesota? You guys took it to Minnesota.
Yep.
How does it feel going from Illinois, Minnesota to now all of a sudden Texas? That, I mean, that's crazy. Weather change.
Yeah, I'm not used to the heat. The heat's not very fun to deal with. Because, I mean, if you're cold, you could always put on more layers. You know, when you're in the heat, you can't really do much about it. You kind of have to put up with it.
Yeah.
So it's not very, I don't know why people like Texas so much. I mean, it's cool, but it's too hot for me. I like the cold.
So you didn't end up being one of those people who like moves to Texas and is all gung-ho, Texas everything?
No, not at all.
So if you're from Texas, please, don't get offended. We know you love your state.
Yeah, we know you guys love your state.
Yeah, I just like the cold. I prefer to stay up here. I can't deal with the heat all year long. I like my snow.
So you prefer Minnesota, working in Minnesota, or?
I prefer working at home.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, in your home.
Yeah,
but,
who wouldn't, right?
But Minnesota, I definitely would say, was a really nice day. I really liked Minnesota. It was different from a lot of states that I've been to. It's, I don't know, a lot of people pride themselves on the things that they do there, so they kind of go above and beyond. You know, you don't always see the same places everywhere you go. You know, there's a lot of mom and pop restaurants, shops, you know, all that type of stuff. So
yeah, one of the main things that I noticed, I remember when we would take our trips up to Minnesota to do work for J1, when we were working that company, I remember the people being so nice. The moment you transferred, you know, state lines and you were finally in Minnesota, I remember how the vast difference of like people treating you like they're such friendly fucking people, man.
Yeah, they're super nice.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's something that they actually go by, Minnesota Nice. Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's kind of like their motto of being really nice.
And they got a lot of art. It's a beautiful city, man. All of overall, Minnesota is just a beautiful state. Beautiful state, you know. Prince is from Minnesota, actually. Huh. Yeah, I believe he's from there.
Yeah.
He had that song.
Yeah.
Well, he actually lived like not too far from one of our. What people that we used to work for out there.
Lake Minnetonka or something?
Yeah, like by Lake Minnetonka, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He had that song where it's like, cleanse yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Yeah, well, when he passed away, his house, they lit it up with, like, purple lights and all that.
That's so
it was
beautiful. Like that. That's beautiful.
It was nice.
That's awesome, man. But overall, how's Texas food? I know you've been complaining a lot about that. You came down here, and I've been taking this guy, you know, to eat as much local food as possible just because of the fact that he's been complaining about Texas food so much.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. It's terrible. I don't like it at all. It's, I don't know. I've had better food in a lot of places in there. Over there, it's just, I don't know. I don't want to make it seem like I'm talking bad about Texas, you know, because I know people from Texas really love the place, but I don't know. I think they could really do better with their food. I think they could up their game a little bit.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Let's do a little bit of some bogus shit real quick. Do a reverse shout-out. What's the fucking restaurant you told, like, a reverse shout-out? Like, suck my dick. You guys suck.
Go ahead. Honestly, Taco Cabana.
Taco Cabana, reverse shout out for Taco Cabana, sucker dicks.
Yeah, I don't like Taco Cabana.
Suck my sushi roll, bitch.
Yeah, it's like the McDonald's of tacos out there.
Oh, man.
It's like at every corner, you see it everywhere. You can't go like a few miles down without seeing another one at the corner.
So is it like a Taco Bell kind of thing or what?
It's like it's not really. They sell tacos, but the tacos suck.
So it's a restaurant that just sucks at being authentic.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, people like it, but I mean, I personally don't like it. It's not that great.
Because you're used to.
Yeah, I'm used to the authentic.
Now the crazy thing is they're closer to the border than we are here in Illinois.
Yep.
So how the hell do they fuck up Mexican food?
That's what I wonder. Like, you're so close.
Yeah, because see, now I've had the same issues. Now I've taken trips to Los Angeles before. And I remember I was staying at the Ace Hotel, beautiful hotel. And right next door to the Ace, they had a taco spot. Like, it was just a little taco hut, right? And I was like, oh, you know what? I haven't had Mexican in a while. I've been having nothing but food from here, from the hotel, and, you know, here and there. I'm like, you know what? I want an al pastor taco. And I go to this place, and I ordered it. And from the moment I opened up the foil to look at the taco, I was like, this is not al pastor meat. I'm like, this is disgusting. It almost looked like tinga.
What?
It was like so. It didn't look like al pastor, and I was like, "What the hell is this?" I'm a chubby guy, all right. I've gotten chubby over the years, all right. I'm big boned, all right. Now I'm the type of guy who will clean the fucking plate out, even if I don't like it. I'll complain or something. It's terrible, but I'm gonna just max down real quick.
Yeah, same.
Can't let it go to waste. There's kids out there starving, right? But this was one of those places where I took a bite out of the damn taco, and I was like, "This is disgusting." I threw it in the trash.
No.
Right there in front of the hut. I'm like, I don't care if they feel disrespect. What? I'm sorry. This is disgusting. And I remember stating that. I was like, how can you be so close to the border and manage to fuck up Mexican food? That's terrible. Like, come on, man. Get your shit together. So then you tell me Texas is the same way. I'm like, what?
Are they,
like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, they have a good barbecue. I like their barbecue, but.
Yeah, you were telling me people just do their brisket. Everybody's got a fucking smokehouse, basically.
Yeah, everybody's always smoking their meat out there.
Nice. Now, we smoke meats out here, too, in Illinois, but that's people in crack houses in Chicago. Those are the smokehouses we have over here. Now, there's actually a good barbecue place in Plano. Plainfield. It's called Baby Back Blues.
Yeah, that place is good.
Oh, man. Shout out to them, dude. If you guys are ever in Plainfield, they're off of Lily Cash Road and Route 30.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah. Really good spot. Really good spot. I think they've gotten some notability through, like, local news and all that in the past. Really good spot. They got really good rib tips, really good ribs. Did you guys know that actually ribs falling right off the bone is doesn't necessarily mean they're good ribs? You don't want it to fully fall off the bone. You want it to be tender and, you know, for it to come. But if you ever pick up a piece of rib and, like, it just falls straight off the bone, like, it's...
Like slips out.
Yeah, it just slips out. DTF is shit to get in your mouth. Yeah, that, apparently that's not good ribs. You want it to have a little bit of, you know, hold onto them. And a lot of the times when they fall off, it usually means the people sometimes boil them beforehand.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, but see, I'm not a rib professional, so there may be
you
some people out
sound
there.
Like one.
No. I mean, there's probably going to be some people out there who's like, no, you have to boil them. I don't know. I don't know if you do or if you don't. I really don't. I just know that they got really good ribs. They're really tender. They're not fall off the bone, but they got a little bit of play to them. They're really good. They got a nice spicy little barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's probably better in Texas, and probably Texas will come out to us and be like, you guys got some really shitty barbecue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah, but... As far as that, they could do better with their food. But they have some really nice places in Texas, though. Like, once you get near the coast, they have, like, these vacation spots. I think it's pretty cool. They take you, like, on one of those, what are they called? Ferries?
Yeah, the ferries.
Yeah, you get on a ferry, and you get to the other side. And once you get to the other side, it's, like, a vacation area. There's, like, these, like, vacation homes, like, beach houses and stuff like that. And there's, like, restaurants. And I guess that's where, like, people go for, like, spring break and all types of things. Oh. It's really nice.
That's what's up. That's
really
what's up.
Nice.
That sounds pretty.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Man, that's crazy. Now, I remember the diversity in food in Minnesota being crazy different. I mean, you can go to a place and get some really good German food, which, by the way, do you remember that German restaurant? I can't remember off the top of my head what the German restaurant was. But, guys, we were lucky enough to go out to Minnesota, and we were working at the time. And we were out there for Oktoberfest, of all times. And we go to this German restaurant during Oktoberfest. They had tents outside. It went all the way inside this restaurant. They had this this German band playing polka. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Man, it was awesome. They had this keg, a wooden keg, an old-school wooden keg, right? And the band members were having people come up to the stage because in there you bought these wooden chips. Uh-huh. And those wooden chips were basically tokens to get beers or food and so forth. Kind of like a Taste of Chicago kind of thing.
Yeah.
Only instead of tickets, they would give you these wooden coins.
That's nice.
And but the band members on stage had like their exclusive. Shout out to my boy Ruben. All right. He has Turkbergs. These band members that had exclusive beer. It was in a wooden keg. The whole thing. And they had people like, come up, we're going to fill up your big ass glass mug that you guys are carrying around. We're going to fill it up with this beer. So everybody went up to the front of the stage. They fill up your, you know, right there on stage, they fill your shit up, right? And then they raise up the mugs and they're like, Ziggy Zaggy, Ziggy Zaggy, oh, oh, oh. And everybody's going crazy.
Uh-huh.
And then they go, Ziggy Zaggy, Ziggy Zaggy, oh, oh, oh. And then everybody chugs.
Uh-huh.
Man, this beer got you so fucked up.
Oh my gosh, did it taste good?
Though? I was so fucking drunk, how can I tell you?
Yeah, that day was crazy.
It was crazy. But let me tell you this, they had only three kinds of beers. They were all German beers. They had your light beer, you know, your medium colored beer, and then your dark beer. That three beers. But it was all German stuff. Man, they were selling food there with those wooden tokens. And I mean, you can get authentic German food. But this that was in the tents. Now, you can go inside of the restaurant and actually sit down and eat. It was a big, actually...
Okay.
It was like, what, like a, maybe like a 4 or 5-star restaurant?
Yeah.
Beautiful restaurant. It's not like any little shitty place.
Oh, no.
It was a really nice restaurant. So we go, we sit down. We're like, you know what? Let's have dinner. We're already pretty drunk. We start ordering these crazy cocktails. I believe the cocktail that I got was... It wasn't German, now. I went in there and I got a Jolly Rancher cocktail. So it was like this alcoholic beverage, but they grind it up with all this ice and Jolly Rancher. It was really good. And so we're all in there. We're like, you know, well, we don't know what to order. And there they sell you stuff. Like, you can buy individual plates, but people go there to get like their smorgasbords or whatever, which is like you order this thing and it comes with like multiple platters of food that everybody at the table could just dig at.
Oh, kind of like a buffet kind of.
Yeah, but at your table. And so we're like, you know what? Let's get this one. This one has all kinds of meats and all kinds of, you know, balls and all, like it was all kinds of crazy
and
shit.
You guys are drunk, so you're like, and we're drunk. Hungry.
Yeah, and it was me, Mario. It was my brother Juan, my brother Israel, Christian.
Christian was with us.
Who else was with us that day? That was us. That was it. Yeah, and we're all getting fucked up, right? And they bring us our food, and there's all this food we've never tried before. It's all German, like everything's nice. German.
It was so good.
It was really good. Foods we've never tried before. We're like, whoa, I don't know what this is.
But let's get it.
It's good. It's wunderbar. and we're eating, and this guy comes up with his accordion and starts playing, which I still have footage of that. This guy starts playing accordion tableside to us. He's playing all this music. And we're just like, we're all these Mexicans just sitting in a German restaurant, drunk as hell, completely out of our element, loving every second of it. So we finish our meals, and, you know, we're all chilling, and the waiter comes up to us, and what does he offer us, Mario?
Some snortable tobacco.
Which they call, it was like, what, snuff, right? Or snuff, right?
Yes, yeah, something like that. I don't remember.
It's snortable tobacco. This is huge in Germany.
Uh-huh.
All right. So he pulls out this little container and this little tape, like this little wooden tray, but has a little wooden hammer built into it with a spring.
Okay.
So on the end of the tape, on the end of this little tray, if you could imagine it, he pours out a little bit of this tobacco at the end of it, right? And he brings it up to your face and he pulls back that little hammer. So when that hammer slaps down on the board, the tobacco basically pops up. You know, jumps in the air from like the little hammer hitting the table, and you got to snort at that time.
Oh!
And he's like, "You guys want to try it? You know, it's free." And we're like, "You know what? Fuck it! Yeah. You know, you only live once."
YOLO.
And my brother Israel, a little bit too excited. I don't know what else he's been putting in their noses. He gets a little, he's like, "I'll go first." We're like, "Cool." He goes up to this fucking thing, and the guy does his whole ziggy zaggy thing again, and boom, and he brings that shit in, and he's like, holy shit, it's pretty cool. And the guy's like, you guys want some? I'm like, dude, I'll try it. Fuck it, let's try it, right? Uh-huh. Now, remember, guys, this is German culture. I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to be a disrespectful fucking idiot.
Even though you're drunk.
I'm drunk. I'll snort whatever the fuck you bring to my face. You tell me this is German Coke, I'm going to snort it. I'm just kidding, but no, seriously. I wouldn't snort Coke now. But no, he brings up the, you know, the tobacco. And it's fucking menthol.
Okay.
So, I mean, they got this in natural or menthol or chocolate or whatever the hell you want. And it's in a little circle
like
tin.
Like cigarettes.
Yeah, it's in a tin, literally the size of, like, Carmex lip balm. You know, the little tubs?
Yeah.
Literally. Just like that. And we all did it all around the table. Everybody, the most timid of people, tried it. Oh. It was a hell of an experience. But here's the thing. This tobacco gives you a rush. Because you're snorting it, it's being processed quicker than if you were to smoke it or anything like that. So it gives you like this awake feeling. It's very minor. It's not crazy big, but it does give you a little bit of a rush. It gives you a nicotine rush. And we're like to the guy, we're like, this is crazy. This is awesome. And he's like, you guys like it? We sell it before you guys walk out. And then I'm like, no shit. So we're walking out. And I had spent all my money on these wooden coins to buy stuff outside. And I'm walking around there. I'm like, to my brothers, I'm like, guys.
Please
hook it up. I don't got any cash on me. I'm not going to go to the ATM right now. You know, spot me some cash. I want to buy some of this. And everybody's like, yeah, sure. And I go and I ask to get 110. And up walks Israel and he's like, can somebody spot me money too? And everybody's like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to take 2 to 3 tens. Remember that?
Yeah, he got.
I'm getting 110. I'm like thinking this is gonna last me. I'm gonna bring it out as like you know conversation, a little conversation piece when people come over and we're drinking. Like, oh look, got this in Minnesota. This is a traditional German thing. This motherfucker's ready to go with 3 fucking cans.
He's like, I already know. We'll
he's
right
ready. I mean, he's running from the jump. He's already at the finish line.
I still remember the waiter when he first asked us. He's like, so it looks like you guys like to party. We're like, yeah. so you guys want to try this snortable tobacco? And we're like, yeah, sure. Really? All right. A lot of people usually say no. So the guy was equally as excited as we were just to see it.
He's like, I haven't used my clapboard here in quite some time. But the tables around us, they were like, what are they doing over there?
That's pretty cool.
I think a lot more people got into it. But it's a really, really, really wonderful experience. It really is. And some people out there, I got this one friend. His name's Jose. I've actually contacted him to see if he wanted to do the show. But a really cool guy, really smart guy. But one of the main reasons that I like following him on social media is that this guy is one of the most adventurous eaters out there. Really cool guy. I mean, he's out there trying Filipino food. He's trying all kinds of soul food out. He tries foods that I've never even heard of, and I see him trying, and I'm like, man, that looks so good. Those are the kind of people everybody needs to strive
to
be.
You need to travel.
Yeah, don't be a picky eater, man. Travel. Get some experiences. Try some food that you would never even consider trying to eat, you know?
Especially if you're traveling. Like, come on.
Right. I mean, you don't know what you're going to like. There's some, like, and this is something that I've always brought up to people. When you're within your own culture, there are foods that you guys may have grown up with that other people may think it's disgusting, you know? Like, for example, a lot of black people grow up eating chicken gizzards, fried chicken gizzards, stuff like that. You bring those to a white people's house, they'll be like, no, what the hell? No, I'm not going to try that. But to them, they're like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
With Mexicans, we have a lot of stuff. We eat lengua tacos, tongue
people
tacos.
Gross,
and it's not even just Mexicans. There's a lot of cultures that eat a lot of the, the byproduct that, some people will be like, ew, I'm not eating that. I'm only going to eat ribeye. But once you step out of your element, you'll find out that something that sounds as gross as, oh, we're eating brains. There's some brain quesadillas out there that you guys, like, if I were to give you guys a bite, you guys would be like, man, without knowing, you guys would be like, man, what is this? This is so good. And the moment I tell you guys it's brains,
you're going to be like,
you're gonna freak out.
But, like when they give people brains on, what was that show, Fear Factor or whatever?
Fear Factor with Joe Rogan, yeah.
Like, what? Some people eat that in tacos, dude.
Yeah. And people are over here, like, vomiting and getting cheered.
Goodness.
It's like, dude, it's not a big deal. I eat that shit, add a little bit of salsa, you're good to go, homie.
Even like with sushi, with raw fish, like some people are like, that's disgusting. But me, even pregnant, oh man, eat raw fish all day.
Yeah, even though they say you shouldn't be eating raw fish, shut the fuck up. Women in Japan do it every fucking day just because it's not the norm in the U.S.
Obviously, if you're pregnant, don't get it from like the back streets. Like you have to go to a good place that you know their fish is good.
Yeah.
As long as it's good.
Yeah,
eat it up all day.
Yeah, I love sushi.
I could eat it every single day of the week.
Me too.
Right? I mean, there's nothing better than that. And there's actually there's this sushi roll that one time I got, I can't even remember what the spot was or what city it was. I just remember that they brought you out a roll that was a raw quail egg in between, like, the seaweed wrap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just beautifully dropped in there. It was a quail. And if you guys haven't had a quail egg before, it's tiny. It's a little egg. Tiny little egg. They drop it in there. I honestly thought that the quail egg was going to be weird just because it was raw, right? I'm like, I mean, how good is raw egg, right? No, it's very flavorful. Quail egg. Mm. And I don't know how you guys eat your eggs, but if you guys ever eaten, like, sunny side up, I believe is what they called, or a fried egg or something like that.
Yeah.
And, it got a little bit of yellow to it.
Yeah, sunny side up.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff's delicious. I love dipping my toast in that.
Yeah, I love it too.
So. Yeah, but this quail egg roll, I mean, it's literally just, it's a roll with one quail egg into it. Man, one of the most delicious fucking rolls I've had. And it sounds so simple.
Sounds good.
But it's really good.
I
tried it. And I never liked sushi before meeting George.
Now
it's my all-time favorite food like all time. Like anything I crave, it would be always sushi.
Yeah, forever. Sushi's the best. I love sushi. But I don't know. I've seen some videos and some people were like eating like fried like huge tarantulas. I don't know about all that.
I'll eat that.
Oh yeah, well George really.
I would eat that.
I don't know if I'd try that.
Fuck that. I've tried. And see, we got our. By the way, guys, I want to bring something up real quick. During the building of this podcast, it's doing well. We're starting to get a lot of views. We're getting featured here and there. Thank you very much, Spotify. Right now we actually got a new producer, a new intern. It was our first host. I mean, our first guest, Mo Sadiq. He's over here being our producer. Have you ever tried anything like crazy like that, insects, tarantula-wise?
I've tried octopus. I've tried squid.
Oh, well, we've all tried that.
Camel brain. It's very much like scrambled eggs. It's prepared, and it's a Yemeni dish.
Oh.
What do you think about that, Mario? Would you ever eat camel brain?
I mean, I guess if it was, like, prepped for me already and, like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
see why not.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't like Indian food, but if you live in the UK or anything like that.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Indian food in the UK is like finding a Mexican restaurant here in the US.
Yes.
It's the exact same thing. It's like you see Mexican joints out here in the US everywhere. It's got like, you know, Burrito Loco, you know, whatever. In the UK, it's all Indian food. It's Indian food. I'm a huge fan of Indian food. I've had clients before where, you know, starts getting close to like, you know, when it was like 11. This is back in my younger years. And they'd be like, hey, you like Indian food? I'm like, well, I've never had it before. And they're like, well, can you handle spicy?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, bro, I'm Mexican. Yeah, I can handle spicy. You sure? Because this is really spicy. My wife makes this really spicy. I'm like, bro, bring it on. And I see these ladies, and it's a lot of, it's very similar to how watching a Mexican woman cook Mexican food. Uh-huh. It's a lot of hand, you know, mixing stuff with hands. It's very hands-on. Mm-hmm. Hands-on for real. Like, you're making masa with your hand. You're doing all that kind of stuff. And I've tried a lot of different dishes that a lot of people were like, man, I'm really turned off by, like, the heavy. Dude, it's their seasonings. Their seasonings are strong. So they're good. Different. You know, you have to recalibrate your palate to understand that, yeah, it's going to taste different. You've never had this, you know, mm-hmm. but give it a chance. I mean, tikka masala. Leslie makes a great tikka masala.
And
oh, my God.
It smells so good. I like cooking it because it smells really good.
and here's the thing. Basmati rice. All right.
That's
don't
amazing.
Use any other kind of rice. Use basmati rice.
Yeah, once George told me to go out and buy it, find it. Oh, it was so good.
It's so good. This rice is known for being very, it has a really good aroma, really good flavor naturally.
Like naturally. Nothing.
You can eat this thing by itself, and it's actually got a very savory taste to it. It's a very good rice. Now, I actually learned about this rice from Mo. I remember one time we went to a Middle Eastern market, and I was going to cook some stuff. And I'm like, dude, they don't have regular rice. And he's like, nah, man, you got to go for basmati. Get basmati rice. It's really good. I cooked it for my first time, and I was like, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since then, anytime Leslie goes out and does shopping, I'm like, hey, can you bring back a bag of basmati? No matter what she's going to make. I think we've had Cuban rice with basmati, have we not?
Yeah.
She made Cuban rice, arroz con gandules. She made that using basmati rice.
Oh, nice.
You all can't fuck with this girl. Y'all can't fuck with this, all right?
So good.
It was so fucking good. If you guys ever get a chance, try this rice. And if you're a sushi fan like we are, you should already know that step one to any good sushi roll is the rice.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the fish. A lot of people think that it's the fish. No, you can catch fresh fish from anywhere. Anywhere in the world, there's going to be good fish. Yes, there's going to be those places they're going to order some frozen ass shit that, you know, it's been frozen for weeks or whatever. Which, by the way, sushi fish sometimes is... In a lot of places in the U.S., it's actually pre-frozen to kill off anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're working with a true professional who knows how to tell if there's parasites, et cetera, et cetera. But anyways, the number one step is good rice. It's good rice. You can't just do it with regular white rice. And basmati rice, man, it's on the top.
Yeah, that rice is
it's
delicious.
It's on the top of my list. Did they have any good sushi in Texas?
Never had any.
In Texas, do you see any sushi places there?
That I can think off the top of my head that I'd seen? No, not that stood
but
out.
They're right by an ocean. Like I.
That's crazy. Yeah. Now, here's my question. How long have you been out there for Texas again? I'm sorry?
Almost a year now.
So like, for a whole year, you didn't eat sushi? Dude, what the fuck? That's hell.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's why that was one of the first things I wanted to come eat was sushi.
Oh.
Damn. Moment of silence for all our Texas people.
Yeah.
Who can't have fish?
Oh,
I mean, I don't know. There might be spots, but I didn't see them, like...
Fuck them. If you can't trust them to do good Mexican food, I'm not going to trust them to give me a good
That's kind of what I figured.
I wouldn't trust these sons of bitches to cook me a fucking a California roll. I wouldn't even trust them with that.
Oh, shit.
But, so you're out in Texas. Tell us a little bit of what you're doing out there, man, with Basic Roofing, which, you know, you've kind of led me onto a little bit of it, but tell us a little bit more about Basic Roofing, man. I'm really interested in this stuff.
Well, the company had started about going on 2 years ago, and it really kind of started getting big once the hurricane hit.
Uh-huh.
And most of our work is basically insurance work, so we handle the insurance claims for the customer. We navigate them through the whole process. You know, we help them get as much and maximize their claim, you know, since they are paying their premiums every month. They deserve to get what they pay for,
right,
and what they're promised, you know, when they think they're signing into this insurance. But, you know, a lot of these insurances, you know, they don't, they're not in it to
actually help
you. To give money out. They're there to just to pay as least as possible. So, I mean, from what I've heard, that some people even say that supposedly they've taken, like, they have classes to teach you how to deny claims. So, I mean.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
these are the people you guys are paying, by the way, guys. You guys are paying these insurance companies to, you know, legally protect you from all kinds of stuff. And they're out there just to make a fucking buck. They're just there to screw you over just like any other institution.
Yeah.
Which I really hate, man. I see people on Facebook all the time trying to push the whole insurance sales or whatever. That they give off such scammer smells, like it really comes off like a multi-level marketing scheme, and all these fucking people are trying to sell this insurance. Oh, join my team! It's like, what are you talking about? And these people consider themselves entrepreneurs. I got into this huge, huge debate with this one girl, right? And she's like talking like she's an entrepreneur, and I'm like, you're not an entrepreneur. I grew up in an entrepreneur household. We grew up in an entrepreneur household.
Yep.
We grew up building businesses. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We know what goes into that. And anybody who goes out there and has to pay for some stupid course to show you how to bamboozle people into buying a stupid fucking product. Rule number one of entrepreneurship, you don't want your customer to feel like they're being sold anything.
No,
and the first thing you guys do is go on social media, and it's like, sell, you know? And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, why the hell do I want to buy some insurance from you? I can go to State Farm, I can go to Farmers Insurance, all that kind of stuff, and get my insurance through there. Why am I going to buy it from some fucking rando on Facebook? Like, it has that MLM vibe to it, dude. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. So these people are never in it to help you. And so you guys are out there after the storm, and all these people are getting screwed over with their insurance company saying, we're not going to cover this. We'll only cover what, like maybe what? What's the worst case scenario you've seen so far where the least they wanted to cover?
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of different cases where they'll literally only try to pay like either half of what it's actually worth.
Uh-huh.
Or sometimes completely deny them because all sorts of types of reasons. And I guess that's where we come in hand because, you know, we try to help the customer. Because the thing is, over there in Texas, the laws are different in different states. But in Texas, you know, being the contractor, you can't talk about the policy, you know.
So you can't talk policy
in Texas. You can't talk policy if you're the contractor. All you have to dispute is line items and why.
And what is a line item?
So basically, the line item would be like, you know, siding, removing siding and replacing it. You know, that's the line item.
Gotcha.
And, you know, sometimes they'll be like, oh, you know, we're not paying for the siding to be removed and replaced. And we have to tell them, well, in order for us to do that, we have to remove some of the siding because there's flashing that goes up the wall and it's behind the actual siding, so we have to remove the siding in order to replace that.
Can't talk about that.
But no, you could talk the line item, but you can't speak policy. You can't tell them, like, oh, right here it says it in the policy that you guys have to pay for that.
So even something like that, where, like, you know for a fact, like, you can't even basically be like, no, you guys have to cover this. It's in the insurance claim.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't even do that.
You can't even do that.
So it's almost like it's helping the insurance, that state.
Yeah, basically. So
basically, the insurance company, basically, they're like, legally keep your fucking mouth shut. You're not allowed to talk about this.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where you go and you talk to the customer and you make them say these things. So that way they're aware that when, you know, sometimes they're going to try to say these things and you know, most people, they'll just be like, oh, okay, whatever. They know better than me.
Wow, that's pretty sketchy.
So that's where we come in hand, because sometimes, you know, the insurance is really... we help them do that, because we help them tell them, like, no, this has to get paid for.
And so how bad is the damage after the hurricane? You guys have been there storm chasing. And that's a term that has been relatively new for me, like this whole storm chasing. I hear that. It's new to me. But for the people out there who don't know what storm chasing is, like, tell us a little bit more about that and how bad is the damage you guys have seen after the hurricane?
Well, I mean, the storm chasers, they really go anywhere where there's any type of, you know, acts of God like that. You know what I mean? Even there's some people, you know, who they chase hailstorms, you know, they chase tornadoes, you know, damages after that, you know, so there's... They go out and they basically find these storms and help people. And
right.
Yeah, so
to help with the damage.
Yeah, to help with the damage, you know, cuz in situations like that there's not going to be a lot of
roof.
Yeah, or something. Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to be booked. So I mean, in situations like that, you know, it's a good thing, you know, cuz all these contractors come out and they, you know, they help, you know, fix the cities, you know, as fast as possible to where if, you know, because everybody needs their roof. Like, after the hurricane, everybody was booked.
Yeah.
Like, they needed as much help as possible.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so...
Now, this is one crazy thing. Les, the day that you said your parents were getting their roof done, and that was in Plainfield.
Yeah.
How were they approached about the whole situation?
About changing the roof?
Yeah, how did they approach you guys?
You know,
did your parents actually go out and look for somebody, or were they solicited?
I think they had to look for someone because at that point the roof was causing damage inside the house.
So then your parents noticed the damage.
Yeah.
And how have you guys gone about that with actually finding like I'm pretty sure it doesn't just fall in your lap. How have you guys been getting all the? I mean, you guys are growing a huge company in such a short period of time out there in Texas.
Yeah. Thank God. I mean, we've been very lucky and blessed, you know, to have the. To for all this to be happening to us, you know, a lot of companies take, you know, years and years to get the type of, you know, jobs that we've been getting lately. Like, you know, we just did a school in Texas, in Yorktown, Texas. And, we completely renovated the gym for them. And that was a huge job, you know. These people, you know, the other company, you know, that contracted us, you know, they do jobs in airports, you know, things like that, schools, you know, but I guess they're mainly known for, you know, working with schools a lot.
So the size of that job must be huge, because you're saying it's a gym for an actual school, like
a
high school?
Yeah, it's a gymnasium, yeah.
But is it a high school, or?
It's actually, it has all grades in it, so it's like an elementary, high school, and middle school.
So this thing must be huge.
Yeah, something.
It's a small town where the school's at, but so since it's such a small town, I guess they built like different buildings around the actual like property, like one for the elementary, you know, one for the middle school, you know.
And how big is that project? What's the scope of that project? Because I mean, it has to be a huge gym. I mean, you guys are doing a lot of what structural work.
Yeah,
that?
We even did structural work. Yeah, we were changing like the iron purlins, all that type of stuff. You know, changing the metal paneling, the metal roof, insulation, all that type of stuff. So.
And how big was that job?
That job was pretty big. It was about like a $200,000 job, if not a little bit more.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, with change orders and all that. Yeah, it was a big job. And there was another customer that we have, just the doctor, and she had a building, and we filed a claim on her roof because it's a school as well, and I guess part of it's like a building that they rent out, and it's like a jumpaline or something like that. It's like one of those like trampoline places for kids. So we filed a claim on hers, and we had been fighting it for like about 8 months. So it wasn't an easy claim, you know. We were fighting it. You know, we had to, you know, hire a public adjuster to get involved in it. You know, engineers get involved in it.
And what's a public adjuster for the people who don't know what that is out there?
Well, a public adjuster is basically somebody who comes in and they could speak policy.
Okay, so in Texas, you need one of these guys.
Yeah, you need one of these guys if they start. You know, there's different steps. You know, there's getting a public adjuster. You know, and then after that, you know, there's other steps that you could take to, I guess, fighting the claim, you know, when they start getting the actual engineers out and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the adjuster basically, you know, he helps the customer fight the claim because he could actually speak policy to where we could just speak line item. So when we have our report and then the customer gets the public adjuster and they do their report, and when both of the reports kind of match each other's, they kind of have nothing to dispute about it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They're kind of forced into actually paying or negotiating in some way.
They have to do what they have to do. Yeah, exactly. What they're getting paid to do.
Yeah, like they didn't want to pay for this one. We had to take it to the engineers, and it turned from like a, what was that thing, like $30,000, and it ended up turning into like a $300,000 job.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so we're still trying to fight because it's a lot of work, and not even that's going to cut it.
Wow, that's crazy. So you guys are actually out there working with, you know, huge scope of numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty big numbers. I'm not going to say they're the hugest numbers. There's a lot of other companies, you know.
Making bigger, but of course, I mean.
But yeah, but we're getting there.
For a company that's been around only for 2 years, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty fantastic. Now, you came out here from Texas to kind of take a break.
Yeah.
Workflow kind of just got stuck to you, though. You've been working a little bit, and in the process of you guys being out here, your project manager ended up picking up some jobs because you guys are transferring the company here to Illinois, correct?
Yeah, we're opening up another branch out here.
Nice.
So we're expanding from Texas to Illinois as well.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So
and so you guys are out here on vacation. It was you and your project manager that actually came out here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the process, how long have you guys been out here for? Like 2-3 weeks now?
About 3 weeks now.
About 3 weeks. And in the process of 3 weeks, you were telling me earlier that you guys picked up more projects, but out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty big ones.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. The project manager, Christian. Yeah. He started putting some word out there, and right now we're gonna see if we can get this job out of the Ziegler dealership in Chicago.
Wow, yeah, and he was telling me that there was like a whole bunch all over Chicago.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
So you guys are now doing dealerships out here. You guys are doing a lot of commercial properties.
Yeah, yeah. So we're starting to get our feet in Illinois.
Nice.
That's crazy. Now, we were just talking about, and this is a big thing, and I hate to bring it right back to this, but so we were talking about how insurance companies out there right now are, you know, there's some really sketchy ones coming out that are coming off like MLM a little bit. Now, I had my producer over here. Now, he knows how much I hate these multi-level marketing schemes. Pyramid schemes, folks. They're literally pyramid schemes. Don't fall for them.
Yeah, if you're a mom, you know about Herbalife.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. So, Mo, can you come over here real quick?
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about this whole, you know, specific brand of insurance companies you were saying.
I don't know if it's okay to mention their name, but they rhyme with Limerica. And anyway, I mean, just to give you the kind of stark contrast in what we're talking about with actual insurance vendors and like these other kind of MLM type people, I mean, I took a 6-hour course. A Russian guy helped me cheat so that I could pass, so that I could get a state certification to sell insurance, and I was ready to go. And then it was pretty much just... it was very much a multi-level marketing scheme. Like, I got to go out there and get other people to work with me on this insurance scheme thing and get them in to invest and take the class, and they got to pay for it. And if I get so many people registered, then I make some money. And really, not much of it was about talking about insurance or policies or any of that.
So it's really people. Not entrepreneurship, basically, is what you're telling me.
No,
it's
no.
Just, it's a scheme. You guys, anybody who doesn't even have a business background or doesn't even know how to open or run a business, this is not a business.
It's... Hey, dude, you want to be a businessman? Go tell 10 of your friends to give you $50, and then you give that to me, and I'm going to give you 20 of it, and that's a business.
Wow. Yeah. thanks, Mo, for that. Yeah, so see, guys, it's just a fucking multi-level. And I got into an argument with this, Mario, with this girl, all right?
Oh, my God.
All right? And she was over here trying to post these quotes about how to be an entrepreneur and all that. And then I'm like, you know, I wouldn't consider that being entrepreneurship. You know, if you really want to break it down, I mean, are we going to sit here and call drug dealers, you know, entrepreneurs? I mean, yeah, they're selling something. So are you. That doesn't make you an entrepreneur, you know? I mean, by definition, maybe, you know, it's very vaguely there. but you're not going to sit here, piss on my back, and say it's raining. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you guys are selling fraudulent claims, I'm sure. You know?
Yeah,
they're
saying that, like, Herbalife, it was, like, one of those that, like, can get you pregnant at 40 when you're trying.
That's crazy. Like, how can they promise that with a dietary supplement? That's crazy. Yeah. It's ridiculous. All right, guys. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you guys. So don't stop listening. This is the Two Sushi Rolls podcast. Once again, guys, just to remind you, today's episode is sponsored by Basic Roofing. If you guys are in shopping for a new roof because you guys are noticing that there's leaks on the inside, you're noticing that there's damage, you know, driving up your driveway, some people can see up on top of their house, you see stuff missing, give Basic Roofing a call. If you're in the Texas area, they are soon to be coming to Illinois. But right now, you could actually visit them on basicroofingtx.com. All right. Well, thank you for our sponsors for sponsoring today's show. We actually earlier were in the midst of talking about this whole insurance fraud crap that's going around. Our producer said we're not allowed to say their names. But I'm pretty sure some of you guys have been approached by some weirdos out there who are asking if you want to make some comfortable living from home and scratching your balls or whatever the fuck it is they want to pitch at you. Stupid. Don't do it.
It's like a lot of stay-at-home moms get that, too. Like, because I have a lot of pictures of, like, me and my daughter all over my Facebook, I get friend requests from random moms.
And what do they say? You want Herbalife?
Yeah, and all over their account, it's all Herbalife. And I'm like, oh, that's why you're friend requesting me, because you could tell that I'm with my daughter all day.
You're like, how is a loser like me getting a friend request right now? This is fishy.
Well, yeah, I was just like, I don't know you.
Like, have you guys ever seen the one with, like, gray bands?
Oh, my God, yeah. Wow, people fall for that. This is their actual legit website. No, it's not.
What? Yeah.
Do you not have Google? Just do a quick Google search,
how do
dummy.
People fall for that? But I guess it's like the older or the really young people.
I don't know. I know some people that just recently posted about it. Some silly, silly dumb fools. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You'd be surprised how stupid people are. But with MLMs, I'm really against them. I'm like to the fucking core. I am so against MLMs.
Because they're disgusting.
What happened to all those people that promised you should be here? You guys remember those people? They're holding up those dumb little blue signs. Like, you should be here.
On the beach, right?
Yeah. What happened to all those people? Did that whole company get dismantled?
They're not on the new beach.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I just seen people at music festivals holding those up.
It's crazy.
I can guarantee
it was an MLM. You should be here. I had this one guy. I didn't know who the hell he was. And just like you, how you said you had a random person adding you, right? I had a random person adding you, right? But I saw that we had mutual friends. I'm like,
okay.
So I add him and he hits me up in the message. He's like, hey, you trying to make extra money? And you know, who isn't, right? But I'm like, but no, I'm pretty good right now. Oh, well, you know, I can make you extra money and you can travel. I'm like, well, I'm already doing that. but you can do this and blah, 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 blah. And he's trying to pitch me this whole thing, right? And he saw that I was kind of being like, no, I'm okay. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to, like, kind of, no, man, I'm good. I'm good. And this guy hits me with, well, you know what? I'm going to become a millionaire with or without you. I'm like, what? And I'm like, all right, man, good luck. You know, go out there, be a millionaire. See you there, too. You know, hopefully one day, you know?
Damn, he just said, I'm going to be a millionaire without you.
I swear to God, that's what he told me. And guess what?
Is he a millionaire?
No, he's working a restaurant job.
Oh.
He's flipping burgers, people.
Oh, what a surprise.
What a surprise, right?
He went out and became a millionaire without you, huh?
Yeah, and Herbalife is extremely predatory towards Hispanics. That I have noticed.
Yeah, there was that whole thing where, and why did... I don't understand.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're predatory. They want people to spend all their money, and then it's extremely, you know, difficult to completely get yourself out of that. You know, it's just a dietary supplement. People are getting fooled into this. And, it even gets plugged in novellas. Herbalife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm being told by my producer.
Like, it was so bad, actually. Last week tonight with John Oliver, they did a show all about multi-level marketing and Herbalife. And they're so predatory against the Hispanic community that this British guy made sure that they did the entire fucking episode in Spanish.
I seen that.
To get the point across.
It's crazy, people. You guys really have to make sure you guys watch out. They had like Melaleuca, which is just basically tea tree oil. That's all it was. All right, it was a product based around tea tree oil. Like, dude, all right, cool. So you found out that an essential oil does all this cool stuff. So does lemon.
So does lemon. Right,
you know, am I going to start selling lemon as a fucking MLM? Like, calm down, people.
It's just like, I feel like a lot of people fall for it, especially like if you are like a stay-at-home mom, you want to make money. Or, you know, like Hispanics, like they, you know, they hustle. They're like, oh, this is like a hustle. Like,
just do the old fashioned trick. Just go suck some dick. No, I'm just kidding, people. Do not go out and suck dick. I'm not promoting that. My wife gave me a stern look like, No, don't go out there and suck dick, people. Definitely don't. I mean, hand jobs, maybe, you know.
Oh,
I believe in the Asian massage field, that's called a two handed tsunami. Me love you long time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just joking. No, but seriously, guys, don't fall for this crap. This stuff is extremely disgusting and predatory. And to all you people out there who are selling it, thinking that you guys are some, like, next-level entrepreneurs, that's not entrepreneurs. You know what? Entrepreneurs go without eating for a good period of time because they're so confident in what they are actually trying to build, you know? They go, it's never easy.
Hours.
Yeah, it's hourly.
Yeah, it's never just from your home.
Yeah. It's definitely not something that you start a business and then automatically it's something that it's like, you know, oh, I'm making millions of dollars or thousands of dollars at the start. No, it's huge process. It takes a lot of building. It takes a lot of bad times to finally get to the good times. So it's one of those things where, you know, you really gotta know what the hell you're gonna be getting yourself into.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And
yeah, it's never easy. Like how if someone's come up to you and being like, are you ready to make $500 in your first like week? It's like, nah.
Yeah, nothing in life is that easy, man.
It's not that easy.
What the hell?
We really wish it was. We really wish.
If it really was that easy, wouldn't you guys think that everybody out there should be like...
Well, this would be thing.
Everybody would be set. That's not how it works, guys. You have to check out how the economy is in the specific platform that you're actually about to take on. I mean, this isn't just an overnight thing. Nothing is ever going to be easy. And I feel that that's the problem with the younger generation nowadays. They fall for this crap because they're promised, oh, look, you're going to become rich real quick, and that's it. That's never the solution. I feel like I've always taken, you know, a lot more confidence when somebody's pitching me something. They're like, hey, man, do you want to get in on doing this? I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be very tough. It's going to be tireless work. But, you know, hopefully between, you know, this period and this period, we should see some stuff. But I want to see people who know what the hell they're talking about.
They have a plan. Mm-hmm. They're truthful that it's not going to be great right off the bat.
That girl that I was telling you, she's like, I'm an entrepreneur. Uh-huh. She tried telling me, yeah, but can you run your business without being there? Well, first of all, if you're a true entrepreneur and you're actually like, these guys don't stop working.
Do you think
that these guys become rich and they're at home scratching their balls? No, dude. They're still working. They're still working. Anybody who promises you that you're going to be sitting at home doing nothing is a fucking liar.
No.
And this girl, she works at a dentist's office. And she had the audacity to ask me, yeah, but can your guys' business run without you guys being there? Or is it something that... Bitch, shut the fuck up. Go clean the toilets over there, because that's what she is. She's not even a dentist. She's just a fucking... A receptionist.
And we're not saying that job's bad.
No, I'm not. Because you know what? I have a lot of respect for people who are in dental hygienists, nurses. Nurses do more work than doctors do a lot of the times. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, yeah. And if you've had a kid, mm-hmm. you know
the
nurse is there and the doctor's there the last 5 minutes.
Exactly. So nurses are actually out there doing more work than they're actually being paid for or even being credited for. But what I'm talking about is those pain-in-the-ass receptionists that try to act like they know more than the doctor. Like, they're working for the doctor's office. Oh, my God. They know everything. And that's how this girl was. She works at a dentist's office as the manager, receptionist, or whatever the hell she wants to call herself. And she's over here trying to talk to me about entrepreneurship. Honey, I know how a business works. I know how business works. You're not going to sit there and tell me that I don't know how business works because somebody pitched you this fabricated insurance fraud crap that you're trying to fucking pull off on people. Screw you.
Yeah.
Screw you. Yeah, let's compare fucking net worth whenever the fuck you feel like it and assets and equity, and we'll see who really stands where. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's I don't understand, like... Like we said, we don't think that this job is bad or anything, but you can't go around saying that you know all about business when... And even saying, like, can you do this while working from home, even though you're not even working from home with whatever business you're talking about. You still have to work your dentist job, so...
Yeah, I don't know. Some people just get too full of themselves sometimes.
Yeah.
They think they're in a better place than what they really are, and they put themselves up in a higher chair than the people around them.
But why is it always people who are doing, like, reception jobs? I'm sorry, but my sister-in-law, she's like this? Yeah, she's a receptionist?
My sister is.
Oh, my God, she thinks her shit don't stink. Like, dude, calm down.
She thinks she is the big macho person in my family. She thinks she's so much better than me.
And so is this girl that I'm telling you about. She's a damn receptionist, and that's how her point of view is. She's above everybody. She thinks she's the Will Smith. She started a page just to rehash, inspirational quotes from all these other people. I'm done talking about her. But, I mean, it's like I was saying, our generation has almost, like, no concept of long-term gains. It's literally all short-term, investment and, fucking instant gratification, How many of us are actually out there saving or investing? How many of us even know how to invest?
But is it like the generation that raised us, like my parents, they make it seem like you have to have this right now. That's how my parents kind of try to teach me.
But you see, your parents, they didn't teach you right, because that's not how my parents taught us. And like I said, I come from
entrepreneurs.
And I'm sorry, but, they're doing just fine.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was taught a lot of life skills that I meet a lot of friends, and I'm pretty sure you've met a lot of friends, right, Mario? Where the way their parents raised them, were they prepared for the real world, period?
No, not at all.
No, man. I feel like we were taught so much stuff, lot of stuff that I see people posting on Facebook. This is what they should have taught in high school. No, that's what your parents should have fucking taught you.
Yeah.
So what the fuck are you talking about? My parents taught me that. Your parents didn't teach you that? Sucks for you. You got some really retarded fucking parents.
Yeah, and I could say this like from my point of view. Like George and I, we have very different parents, and they. George was able to live on his own since like 17, 18.
Yeah.
I would not. No way. And I know Mario could probably do this, did the same.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think a lot of people can say that.
No, not really. And that's a lot of things that people really like. If your parents didn't teach you, don't linger on that too much where it's like, oh, my parents never taught me. No. Well, go out there now. Now you know what you need to do. Learn how to do it. Because if you don't have kids already, or when you do have kids, Now it's your turn to teach them what you were never taught. That's the whole point, people. It's not what you're going to leave them. It's what you're going to teach your kids. You got to remember that.
And it's long term. Like you have to wait. Like basic roofing right now. Like that battle to get that school. It's like it wasn't like right away. Here's your $300,000.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of losses, but there were investments.
Yeah,
basically investments of time, and
you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some, but. That's what it takes to get to the top. I mean, like I always said, it doesn't come with ease. You don't just wake up with money one day. You don't just sit at home and start, you know,
and
message somebody trying to sell some sort of pyramid scheme. You know, that's not how you do it. I mean, you gotta. It's a lot of sleepless nights and early mornings.
Yeah, man, I agree with that. Yeah, and a lot of people who are out there who are like, "Oh my God, I would love to travel for work." How great is that, Mario? How about you tell us? How great is that?
Traveling for work is not fun.
It's not fun.
It's not
fun. You guys are in a fantasy world. You guys are in a fantasy world where you guys think that every relationship that's perfect doesn't fight. You guys fall asleep cuddling each other. Guess what? In real relationships, majority of the time, you sleep ass to ass. Especially when you're mad at each other. Nobody's cuddling the fucking sleep people. All right? And if you are, cool. All right, cool. But guess what? You're probably not even a year in yet. Suck for you. All right?
Thank goodness.
Now, this is reality, people. This is fucking reality. Snap into it, man. It's snap into reality. Snap into the Slim Jim of life.
I do think that our generation really has to get on that.
Yeah.
Long term. Like, I feel like a lot of people think it's too late, even though we're only 20.
Yeah, no, man.
It's not too late.
There's a lot of people who didn't make their big move until their mid-40s, guys.
And by the time they're, like, 50, like, look at that. They made it. Like, it's really not that.
It's the music.
Yeah, it's the music.
It's this music that people are listening to now where it's like they see you know, they see this Tentacion, XXX, Tentacion, Tenacon, as my wife likes to call it.
Yeah, I said Tenacon.
No, but for real, these young people who are like, man, he became rich, I'm going to do... Like, guys, come on, get a fucking grip on life, dude. Get a grip on life. You guys want to be musicians, you guys don't even know music theory. Get the fuck out of my face, man, seriously?
And it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, no, this music tells them that they are, though.
Yeah.
I just seen a video, all right, where the jeweler, there's a video of Tekashi 69, right? And this guy, I guess, goes to this jeweler shop, gets this choker made for him, made out of gold and all kinds of shit. And guess what, guys? The jewelry company that he went to made a video. The owner of the jewelry shop makes a video and he's like, hey, you know, you're wearing around a choker. I see you going to birthday parties. You're traveling. You're doing this. You owe me 25 grand. I have no way of contacting you. I'm seeing you in your videos. Hey, man, you don't like it? Return it. Return it.
So this guy pumping this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Tekashi 69, he doesn't have the money.
So he's lying.
The jeweler is like, you owe me 25 grand. I have no line of communication. Talk to whoever's in charge of your finances. Wire me the money. But if you want to talk about wiring money, don't expect Drake to ever pay you back on time. Because he's been called out.
Yeah, he was too.
Oh my God, that was so embarrassing.
Yeah, how crazy was that?
That was embarrassing.
That guy put him on black. Yo! So
the guy who created the Kiki dance, or...
Something like that, yeah. And I guess Drake was like, oh, I gave him $250K. It's like a fucking $250,000.
To create this, like, you know, dance phenomenon.
And then Drake's like, oh, well... You know how, have you ever wired money? You know how that wire?
Because he hasn't paid him.
Yeah.
He hasn't paid. And here's Drake talking about.
But I mean, this guy had balls, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
He just got him on video because Drake's over here trying to act like his friend. And he's like, all right, where's my money?
He's like, yo, what up, Instagram?
He's like, I don't want to hear none of that shit.
I don't want to hear none of that.
Where's the money?
Like, seriously? Anytime somebody owes me money, that's going to be my next move. Like, I'm going to play just like this guy. I'm going to be like, yo, what up, Georgie? How you been? I'm like, I don't want to hear none of that. Where's my 20 bucks, bitch? I bought you beer. I bought you beer and wings. Bought you some sushi. I don't want to hear none of that. Man, we boys. Nah, man. boys pay each other back, man. Where's my 20 bucks?
But that should even show you that these guys rapping about getting money.
They're not.
They don't even have
They're
it.
They're not. These people don't know how to save money. 50 Cent? Yeah, 50 Cent is broke. He's fucking Lil Bow Wow was posting photos of like supposedly some private jet, and then somebody caught him on a fucking photo. He's in coach. He said, "I'm on this private. I'm on this private jet. I'm flying coach. I'm just messing around. I'm flying coach. Let's be real for a second.
Our generation is just fake. It's fake.
Like that little Tay. It was all fake. People were like, she's the youngest Fletcher. You guys are just... No. It was all fake. You people are stupid. They're baiting you guys because they know you motherfuckers got this brain disease that makes you think that quick gratification is definitely within your grasp. It's not. It's not. Remove that from your vocabulary. It's not. You're not going to become a baller over fucking night unless you win the lottery. And guess what, people? Even that doesn't work the way you guys think it does.
It does not.
You guys are fools. Absolute fucking fools. You know how many athletes are out there that squandered every cent where now they're trying to implement more allowance into the contracts where it's kind of like, we're not going to give you all of it like we used to. We're going to put you on an allowance because y'all are pretty dumb. I mean, come on. That's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. Grown men can't even control their money.
Yeah, and it's like more money, more problems. Like, the more that you earn, like, let's say you're making, like, what, like, $100,000 a year. I mean, you're making a lot more than someone who's making, like, $50,000. But in the end, you're probably going to have more bills because, you know, your job, maybe you have to have a certain suit or you have to have certain equipment that has to come out of your pocket.
Right.
And it's just, it's more money that needs to be spent, more bills. Oh, yeah. Like, that's basically what it is.
That's for sure.
I mean, people just, they have, wake up, people. Y'all want to, you guys think that by posting a woke meme on Facebook, you guys are woke. Y'all are dumb.
Oh, goodness.
Y'all are so dumb.
Yeah, if you ever add George on Facebook, the likelihood of you getting torn down.
I probably won't do it anytime soon. I hope
you're trying to be nicer.
I'm trying to be nicer to people.
And I really want him to be nicer to people.
So if I've ever been mean to you guys on Facebook, I'm really sorry. Listen to my podcast. You guys should listen to my podcast and hear me be mean about other people. I'm just sorry. I just can't tolerate fucking losers, man.
Yeah, and I try to stop him. I really do. I try to be like, come on, babe. Just give this ruthless. Person a break.
I mean, there's no law. We lawless. We ruthless, baby. Another one.
Oh, yeah.
Natural selection.
Right? No, seriously, man. I'm trying to be nice to you guys. Just listen to my podcast. I'll be nice.
Oh, yeah. He's so... Yeah, trust me. I'm here. I'm trying to moderate him.
Yeah, I got moderators now. Can't be that bogus to that guy. Why not? Dude, you broke down his whole fucking life right now before his eyes. My bad.
Yeah. Like, straight on Facebook, not private message. It can move to private messages, but it starts off with
just I like it to be public. I like to make a spectacle. Oh, I like to put extra sauce.
And the thing is, like, people will like his comments. They're secretly agreeing with him. Like, everyone wanted to say this.
I've torn people's asses up hard through social media. And then you see, like, the person who I'm tearing up, they're like, aunt or their mom liked the comment. I'm not even joking.
What the hell?
I'm not even joking. And I can only imagine what that person feels like. Like, damn, this dude just did me salty, and my mama's over here liking it. Mama, do you really think I'm a loser? And she's in the room, just on her iPad, just reading glasses on. You know,
my
like
life changed a lot.
Yeah, my son is a fucking loser. He needed to be put in his place. I don't know if that's what's happening, but no, I have seen family members do that. You guys remember last week's story about the guy getting stabbed in the neck? Neuropathy issues?
Yeah.
I've commented on his stuff in the past. Way in the past. Completely destroyed him. And his mom's over here liking the comments. You're an idiot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode. It went a little bit longer. Once again, guys, sorry so much about the way that I sound right now. We are very, very sick here. I'm one one-sick sushi today.
He had the man cold because Mario over here got sick. And
yeah,
Mario...
but he hid in the room the whole fucking day. So next. Anyways, guys, don't forget today's episode was sponsored by BasicRoofingTX.com. If you are in the process of shopping for a new roof, or even if you don't know if you need a new roof and you need somebody to come inspect it, give these guys a call. If you are in the Illinois area, you could actually reach them at 630-742-0477. They'll be more than happy to get you guys an inspection on your roof. And like I said, maybe you guys don't have to pay fully out of pocket. You guys can go through your insurance, pay for your deductible, instead of spending thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars, guys. And they'll make sure you guys are set. They will get people to fight for you guys to make sure that those damn insurance companies don't screw you over, because you know that's what they're trying to fucking do. But thank you for joining us for our third episode. We'll start setting up the list in about another week on who's going to be getting those Amazon gift cards. Like I said before, we have an eye on the people who have actually been faithfully listening, faithfully liking, and we'll be sure to get you guys some merch. Get you guys an Amazon gift card, because you guys know it gets my fucking dick hard. But thank you for listening, guys. See you guys in the next one.
Take it easy.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Bye.